Podcast Network Asia.
It's episode 150 of 2-9er Rider.
Ganda! Parang Hawaiian Five-0.
Ngayon ko lang nalaman na 150. This is our 150th episode, man.
Ganda.
So,
congrats.
thank you. And we've got, we're going to be talking about something quite serious. And this show was brought to... The idea behind this show was brought to us by a good friend of ours, Mark Sung. And he felt the need, and I agree, and I don't know why we never thought about doing this, no? To bring and highlight what you do when shit hits the fan and you're on a motorcycle. So to help us and to educate Buck and myself, si Aris alam na niya to eh. We've got our good buddy Johnny Uy, who's been on the show before. Hey, Johnny.
Hi. Good evening, Sir Iba. Good evening, Sir Aris, Moto Chismis, Bro Buck. Good evening. Sayang wala si Maki. Good evening, Sir Samarita, Maki.
Pag-usapan natin si Maki habang wala siya.
Parang sa cardo, no? Pag walang nakakardo, yun yung yun ang pulutan.
So, I had the pleasure, and Aris and Maki as well, had the pleasure of riding with Johnny. And in our Negros ride, that was brought to us by the Tourism Promotional Board, sila Sir Cesar, Philippine Moto Tourism, and it was my first time to ride with someone like Johnny, no? And it blew me away. No, seriously, I mean, Johnny is incredibly humble, but he's been saving lives for over 3 decades. He's a volunteer firefighter, he's a volunteer EMT, and he's also a teacher, which is great, and that's why he's here. Pero Johnny, what was your role ulit in our ride in Negros?
Ako yung... team medic para gano'n, di ba? In case something happen, I'm the one who's going to treat the patient, okay? Kung may na-accident eh. Anyway, that's the reason why I always at the back. Nasa likod ako lagi.
And it wasn't just medical emergencies. If you got a flat tire, if your tambucho fell off, si Johnny was there to help out pa rin. And not only after the, you know, that thing happens, sasamahan ka pa ni Johnny to get it fixed. Ano, beyond, sobrang blown away by this guy, man. Sarap kasama sa motor si Johnny.
Thank you. But we have to, kasi we're trying to preempt the accident. Kaya kailangan samahan until okay na yung motor, etc. Ngayon.
Ah, so yun ang logic. If there's something wrong with your bike, that could impact your physical health. It could cause an accident, not just for you, but for the people you're with. So that's part of it. It's a complete package. Galing.
Yep.
Ito lang naisip yun, ha?
Kaya I have to accompany Maki hanggang sa pagpalit niya ng tire.
Kasi wala kang tiwala kay Maki. Napapalit
niya. Naman.
Keep up. Not take the tire.
Eh, pag in the middle of yung trip niya, and then suddenly pumutok ng tire. So mahirap na. At least nandun tayo.
The best medicine is preventive.
Yes.
Also with us tonight, we've got Alex Deacon. Alex Deacon is one of the big bosses in Lifeline 16911. And Alex, can you... Buck just went through the course that you guys provide at Lifeline. And I think, Johnny, you were also trained, or you know the people who do the training in Lifeline 16911?
Some of them sa LSTI, sa school nila Deacon.
Yeah. So yun, Alex, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing? And holler if you want me to throw up the slides.
Yeah, well, thank you guys first so much for having me. First time on a podcast, so I might be a little rusty. Or not even rusty, might be a little off, but thank you for having me. Nice to see you, Tita Aris. It's been a long time.
Yeah, good to see you, Alex. Tita Aris.
So yeah, at Lifeline, do we have time to throw up the slides now, or would you like to do that later? Yeah, if you could do that now, just give you a little brief background. So again, I'm Alex from Lifeline 16901. If you go to the next slide, Lifeline is actually the largest private emergency medical provider in the Philippines. So what we mean by that is that we are all pre-hospital, all EMS, emergency medical services. If you could go to the very next slide. So we've actually been in business. This is our 28th year. And over this time, we've saved over 400,000 lives. Just to give you guys a little bit of context, we typically do anywhere between 1,000 to 1,500 emergencies every single month. So we keep our hands pretty busy over here. And with that, we have the most fleet. We're the fastest in terms of reliability. And we're trying to just be the highest standard for EMS in the Philippines.
And this is nationwide.
It's actually not nationwide, which is a problem that we're trying to solve by expanding. So right now, we actually only operate in NCR as well as surrounding areas like Antipolo, Rizal, Bulacan, some parts of Cavite, some parts of Laguna. Hopefully, in the coming years, we'll be able to expand. But I'm sure you guys know, just logistically, being able to get that many vehicles on the road is tough, man.
7,000 islands.
Yeah, exactly.
Mag-donate si Aris ng ano, mga fleet ng chopper.
Wow.
We'll hire you guys as emergency bike responders.
Oh, two of the guys here are trained na.
Exactly. That's most of the people. If you could go to the next slide really quick. So again, just to show you the amount of... This is just in NCR, so we have over 50 ambulances, as well as 30 different locations, and over 300 nurses, EMTs, and doctors who are all able to be mobilized within seconds after you make your call. And with this, if you go to the next slide, our ambulances, they're not like your typical ones. They're cars, but they're actually more like trucks on wheels. These are Ford E350, so they're the larger models, and they have they're fully spec'd out, they're fully decked out. And we consider them a full emergency room on wheels. Now, what we consider pretty good or a big selling point about Lifeline is that we actually train our own staff. And with this, as Johnny mentioned, we have our own Lifeline EMS Academy. If you go to the next slide, this is actually the people who we've just graduated from our EMT batch. So we teach our full EMTs. It's about an 8-week classroom course and then a full 8 weeks of on-the-job training. And in here, these Lifeline students are trained on all the basic EMTB requirements that are up to full international standards. But what we also do, which is what Buck did and what we offer to civilians, is our first aid and basic life support courses.
Johnny, did you do like the 8-week one or anong course kinuha mo? The 8-week one.
EMT basic.
Wow.
EMT basic. How long ago did you do that, sir?
Pre-pandemic pa, sir.
Nice.
Pre-pandemic. But I'm an instructor for PHA, Philippine Heart Association. I'm a certified instructor. So great. We do BLS there.
You're saving lives, yeah, man. You're teaching more people how to save lives.
Well, tagal nang ginagawa, sir.
yun ang superhero natin.
Exactly. But what we realized after this is that we can do the first aid training all we want, but for a lot of people, it's just not top of mind. And if you go to the next slide, what we tried to look at was starting a first aid training specific to schools, specific to students. And this is all the same. Our first aid course is the same as any first aid course that you'll go to. We try to have the best trainers that we can possibly have, but the content is the same because it's an international standard. You're talking about heart attacks, talking about strokes, how to recognize the heat stroke, how to deal with wrapping wounds, wrapping, you know, sprained ankles, things of that sort. But we wanted to make it more for kids and more with things that they're familiar with. So instead of just saying a sprain, we'll say, what if you have a sports injury? What if you sprain your ankle playing basketball, things of that sort. And when we were going over this with our trainers and the people in our academy, a lot of them are riders also. And they were saying, if we could do this for schools, why can't we offer the same specialized training to riders as well? Because I think you had the same experience with when you rode with Johnny for the first time. You wanted him to be there.
Oh, yeah, every ride now, even if I'm just going to buy Pandesal, I'm like, hey, Johnny, are you free?
Yeah, you want him there. And that's a universal experience. If you go to the next slide, what we're trying to do now is launch Biker Guard as well. Because our EMTs, they're all riders as well. They all join their ride clubs, and it's the same thing. They always want one of them to be there because they feel more protected, they feel more safe. And there has to be a way where we can do that, and we can share that, and we can spread that knowledge around to everyone. And with the goal of having at least one rider in your ride club who knows what to do in the case of an emergency, who knows basic first aid, who knows how to call for help, and who can just be there, who can be the point person for that. So at Lifeline, that's what we're trying to do now, offer specialized first aid training for riders.
That's very nice, Alex. You know, we should advocate that every motorcycle club here in the Philippines should have one first aid trained rider. I remember talking to one of the senators. I think that was Senator JV. I told him if he could, you know, sponsor a bill requiring every household to have at least one first aid trained guy. Because, you know, here, yung oras means a lot, di ba? Pagka nadidelay yung response, lalong nagiging complicated yung problem. Can I ask you, Alex and Johnny, the basic training for first aid response, how long does it take? I mean, very basic lang, parang not so complicated. Pero just to attend to one guy who collapsed here for probably heat stroke or nagkaroon ng anong tawag doon, yung sa attack ng epilepsy. So what do you do? How long does it take? How do we apply if we want to have every motorcycle club to have at least one ano? It's not,
Aris, hindi ka kasi sumasama sa mga meeting eh. Si Bak nag-train na.
Actually, nag-train na ako pare ha, even sa Motor Clyde. It doesn't take long.
It doesn't take long, sir. At Lifeline, our course is just one day.
Yeah.
It's a full 9 hours. Buck, when you got there, did you arrive at around 8 a.m. to 9 a.m.?
Yeah.
I assume.
Oh.
Can I suggest, alimbawang ano, may na-train kayo, pare. Di ba, you give them certificates? Make them, ano, di ba, eligible. Eligible, I mean. Pare, why don't you give patches sa mga riders na first aid trade? So, we would know who to approach. Alimbawang may sumalpok, I've seen a lot of, you know, accident victims, nakahiga lang sa kalye. Walang gumagalaw. Nauuna pa yung binibidyo sila eh. And so humiliating. Maganda nga nandito sila Alex and Johnny. I congratulate the 29 Rider team. For once, we have sensible guests, no? This is very important. This is very important.
Sensible guest.
This is
pero at least you know why.
Yeah.
Sasagutin ko yung tanong mo. Baka lang. Because dito sa atin sa Pilipinas, we don't have this what they call as good Samaritan law. So they might be held liable in case something happened kapag pinakailaman nila.
Parang hindi maganda yun eh. Eh paano kung
I mean, di ba? The first thing they have to do is call 911. That's it. And then to stabilize the patient, wala namang gagalaw doon basta-basta.
I believe, Johnny, part of your training is giving them confidence to attend to the victim.
Thing naman dito sa Pilipinas, we're not like a different country. Di ba? Yeah. Different country kasi medyo sensitive sila sa ganyan. Pagka hindi mo pasyente, huwag mo pakialaman.
Yeah.
Sa atin naman, hindi naman ganun. Kaya nga, even though we don't have this good Samaritan law, Even though nasa Congress na yan, na-file na yung bill na yan, but still, hindi pa naman pumapasa. Pero hopefully, okay. this Congress pumasa.
Okay.
Let's decouple the question. Okay, so one, how difficult, and then let's throw Aris's question and include Buck. How difficult, how expensive is it to get trained? Alex?
Well, for the Lifeline course, is priced at $1,000. We consider that a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Our goal is to try and train as many people as possible. So we'd rather spread it out over a large population than try and, you know, just milk a few.
Yeah.
And anyone can do it. You don't need a prerequisite skill. You don't need any type of, you know, medical experience. It's supposed to just be, you can walk in. We do it every Saturday in our training center in Makati, and you can just spend the whole day there, learn how to perform CPR, learn how to use an AED, learn all these basic skills. And then hopefully just leave with the confidence that if something happens, you know what to do and you know who to call.
And this is the Biker Guard product you guys will be offering, or is it a standard course? It's separate. It's different from that.
The standard course is what we do every Saturday. So that's just the basic one. As we get more biker groups and we have more ride clubs and everything like that, as more of these people start coming in, that's when we can start going and organizing group efforts and hopefully get a bunch of riders in at one time and do these specific courses for you guys.
So where's the venue, Alex? Where's the venue of yours?
The Lifeline Academy.
Di talaga, I mean.
Interested to join, tama yan.
Yeah.
Tama yan, life skill yan. Sure. Tama yan.
Then also, guys, I'm willing to help, you know, spread out the word. Kung may training kayo, we'll put it sa Moto Chismis. I mean, it's very helpful. Ang country natin pare, alam niyo yung health dito, yung healthcare, it's so low. Eh kaya nakikita mo maraming poor health conditions nandiyan, nagkaalat sa kali eh. And what do? We just watch them, you know, run out of breath. Di ba, tulungan natin.
Yeah.
I think you guys have a mission here. Tulong-tulong tayo, di ba? Especially for the community. Alam mo, maganda iba. Pag merong motorcycle big gatherings, big meet, announce na, pwede kayo mag-lecture doon. Di ba? Or ano ba yan? Pwede ko siguro.
Yeah.
The basic one. You know, Johnny, to tell you the truth.
Yes, sir.
When you rode with us, sa Batue, tayo, Mindoro or Cebu?
Cebu.
Yeah. Riding with one of you guys, just like riding with a guardian angel. We have peace of mind. We have peace of mind pag meron dyan. Tsaka siyempre si the expert mechanics like Pinggoy Roa.
Si Pinggoy.
Are, at peace kayo pag may kasama kang ganyan eh. Diba? So, we're hoping na dumami yung ranks nyo. Mag-multiply kayo.
Yun.
Diba?
So, definitely.
Yeah. Actually,
let's do a 2-9er rider motorcycle first aid certification course.
Yeah, we'll help you with this.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd love to host you guys.
But you know what, Boss Iba, Sir Iba, our group have this what you call Moto Medic.
Yun, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, they are a medic on wheels.
I think
because we
I think Johnny meron yung angkas niyan eh, 'di ba? Hindi ko lang alam ano nangyari.
They were trained.
Yeah.
Pero iba kasi yung Moto Medic na may gamit talaga.
Ah, yeah. Yun. O, iba usapan yun.
Di ba?
Yeah.
Ibang usapan yun. I mean, may gamit talaga siya. We have the FEPAG or Fire Emergency Paramedic Groups and then yung Apollo Medic, Apollo EMS. Mga volunteer groups siya na. Mga volunteer groups. They spend their own money para mag-invest ng gamit since may motor naman sila. So they responded sa mga traffic situation kapag kami nangyaring aksidente. And then pagdating nila ron, treat nila patient. So pag treat nila patient, saka lang darating ambulansya, kakarga na lang. So yun yung purpose nun.
Kung si Johnny, guardian angel, si Buck, since trained na siya nila Alex at Lifeline.
Pwede na.
Guardian devil yan. So guardian devil Buck. In the basic the certification course that you took, what are the things that you learned that can be implemented for riders?
Marami. Lahat. Halos lahat.
Okay, done. So, go ahead.
Simple.
I mean, nakita mo, you broke your hand recently, man. Like, did you use
a... Inayos ko talaga really? Ko.
Mas mahal daw ang ano eh. Mas mahal daw ang flaring eh.
Hello? But seriously, Buck, you broke your hand. What did you do? What did you were able to implement immediately what you learned a week later, right? What
real world application.
Have you ever felt like you needed to take your life to the next level? If yes, then go ahead and check out my podcast called Small Talk with Alec Cuenca. Allow me to share with you wisdom by ancient philosophers and modern thinkers, partnered with practical science-driven advice. All of that and more only here on Podcast Network Asia.
Number one, stabilize mo sarili mo hanggang makapacheck up ka.
I think we'll strike a good deal here. I know si Alex Deakin doesn't ride yet, eh, di ba?
Actually, I'm not a big rider. I've ridden before, just small like scooters though. I did I can't remember the name of the course, but I went with Mark actually.
Mark Song?
With dirt bike.
Mark
in Tanay. I forget the name of the place.
Ah, okay, Coach Mel.
Ah.
Yeah, yes, yes. Yeah,
Latino.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. Trail so I bike. Did that.
So you're right.
And then I also used I wouldn't say ride. I don't wanna disrespect anyone here. You guys are all seasoned riders. But I know my way. I know the basics.
Maski bisikleta ride din yun. Basta dalawa gulong.
Mas delikado ng bisikleta.
Mark Sumisiro nagko-comment.
So, okay.
Gusto ko ng next year sa summer. Gagawa ako ng sarili kong course yung Mototuli.
Mototuli.
Clinic on wheels.
Oh. Kaya akin yung Mototuli eh. Pero walang S yung sa'yo. Mototuli.
Alright. So, no. Going back, it was a full day, and sobrang sulit na yung 1,000 and yung 9 hours na, because literally, yeah. A week later, you fell and you broke your hand, right? You're like, I know what's going on. Honestly, I was trained also, but this was like 10 years ago when we did like 19 days and 6,600 kilometers with Sila Toto. But oh, wow. All I remember from that training was, if it isn't bleeding a lot, don't worry about it. You can wait for the next day. Is that correct? Like in hitting a major artery, and it's just broken, no matter how badly broken it is. It's painful, but you won't die. Yeah.
John, Sir Johnny, is that correct? Is that the right way to treat that?
Pwede. Pwede. Actually, it happened. Sa tourism promotion board, sa Mindoro, one of our rider, babae siya, she fell on her bike and then tinamaan yung ano niya, yung nabagsakan yung paa niya. So there's some guy there parang dinasalan. Tapos biglang hinatak. So
yow.
Ayun. Oh. Medyo napasama ron, but eventually naiuwi pa naman niya yung bike niya all the way from Mindoro to Manila. So same thing. Pero may bali when fractured din metatarsal. Tinamaan yung metatarsal niya, basag din. So yeah. Ayun.
Wow. Okay, going
puro tawag dito. Pain reliever lang.
Puro buti walang dahon.
Wala naman. Dinasalan eh.
So I mean, in the metro, traffic is horrible. You rarely get the kind of accidents you see abroad, no? Like in the US where people are traveling at ridiculous speeds.
Yeah.
And you need you need to send in like a helicopter or So I really believe that this entry, this basic first aid training can really help people. can really save lives. Now, what are the most common types of motor? Like Johnny just came from saving someone today, a friend who got into a motorcycle accident. What are the most common types of motorcycle accidents that happen in the Philippines that you guys have seen? And what are like the different things that you guys can do to train people to be the solution, to help out?
Go first, Sir Johnny. Let us know what you see in the field.
Yeah, sa akin kasi, boss. The problem is, for example, as I live in Quezon City, yung road dito, road conditions dito sa Commonwealth, grabe. I mean, even though they have this, what you call it, motorcycle lane. But then again, yung motorcycle lane na yun, magugulat ka, malilipat dito sa kabila. So the road condition, I mean, kawawa. I mean, kawawa yung motor mo kapag dumaan ka ron eh. Wag a holy land, you know, holy burbutas. So usually the road conditions, and then of course, natulad sabi ni Sir Aris doon sa interview niya, they have to be trained. Maraming kamoteng rider talaga, no? So nakakuha lang ng license, pagawa sa fixer. So yun ang problema. So iba talaga yung na-train. I've been riding bikes since I'm in college. Pero iba yung na-train ako eh. Yung nag-train ako sa with HPGA, Tiger, iba, ang layo. Akala ko marunong na ako doon. But when I train, wow, ang layo. Iba, iba. Iba talaga. So you have to train talaga sa puntong yon. I mean, you have to be ready rin. And aside from train sa pagmomotor, maganda na rin na na-train sa first aid, sa BLS. Huh? So yan, importante yan. It's a life skill.
Yon. So again, going, I can see Johnny's philosophy now. No? Increasing your skill as a rider will prevent you getting hurt. And that will prevent you needing someone to come in and be like a first aid expert. Calling for help. Now, maganda yung point ni Lim Owen. Let me bring that up. Motomedic is a good idea. I'm a first aider, and whenever I encounter an accident on the way while riding my bike, I stabilize the patient and call an ambulance. So when the ambulance arrives, they just have to load and go. Now, here's my stupid question. I did the first aid training. But honestly, I don't know what the steps are. Forget about first aid, right? Let's say I get into an accident or some Buck. Well, no, hopefully it's me because Buck will be the one to do the work. No, and I'll hopefully be out of it. But let's say somebody gets into an accident, you see it. What are the first things you got to do?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do, correct me if I'm wrong, Sir Johnny, but it's just stabilize the patient. Make sure they're okay.
But first thing first, you have to check the place if it's safe.
Yeah. Do you do the same thing? The hey, you're okay? Is that the same?
The same thing, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, make yes.
Sure, make sure that the scene is clear. Make sure all of that is good.
If it's safe,
and then begin and then your basic.
So first, assess the patient. Situation, surroundings, make sure there's no train coming or a big truck.
Make sure there's anything like that. Yeah.
Okay. Next step is, do you call for help at that point, or like do you call an ambulance, or do you like go to the person now and do the hey thing?
It honestly depends on the severity first of what it is. If it's something that you think that you can triage or treat there, if it's like a basic dislocation, a basic sprain, it might not be something that needs an emergency needs an ambulance straight away. But obviously, if it's something a little more serious, then the main goal of the first aid training is just to know who to call straight away, not to panic, and just understand, okay, if this is going on, I know that I can call this number. I know that in this area, this company is available. This company has an ambulance service here.
Okay, so one, assess the situation, two, secure the area, and then find out the level of the injury, I guess.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sir Johnny.
usually, it's you have to secure the area first, and then assess the patient, and then call for help, which is you can ask the bystander to call for help since you're treating the patient. So if you see the patient, you have to stabilize it first. So when you assess it, so if it's bleeding, you have to control the bleeding. The same thing, if it's katulad ng ginawa ni Sir Bak, di ba? If it's a possible fracture, let's say possible fracture, you have to put a splint on it, di ba? Parang ganun, stabilize lang ang patient talaga. And then we have to wait for the ambulance. So yun yung sinasabi ni Sir Owen. Treat the patient first, and then when the ambulance got to the scene of the accident, they just load it na lang. Pag turnover mo sa ambulance, ilo-load na lang, and then go na kagad. So that's the purpose of the motomedic as well, di ba? Quick response, ika nga.
Yeah,
I have a question for you guys. I see the medics saying something to the victims, eh. I think to calm them down and probably assess the situation. Ano yung usually first words nyo na binibigay sa kanila, tinatanong, when you, yung first encounter nyo sa kanila?
Usually, papakilala muna kami.
Yes.
Na we are a medic. So, pag nagpakilala
Hi
kami...
Hi guys, yeah. I'm Johnny Uy.
yeah, parang gano'n, no? I'm a trained medic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, actually, what
is it?
One by one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, para to sa... Siyempre, mas may feeling of ano sila. Secure sila. Yeah. Parang kayo, pagkabiyahe natin, dahil may kasama kayong medic, so may feeling of security ka. So, pagkapakilala mo sa kanila, then you have to tell them what you're going to do para hindi rin sila magulat.
Yes.
Di ba? You have to, kumbaga, step by step, if you're going to treat their wounds, oh, lalagyan ko ng tubig to, ha?
Yeah.
Kasi makabiglang magulat siya, tubig lang to, hindi alcohol to.
You have to tell them.
To tell them na rin, especially if they're conscious, di ba? If nakausap ko rin, at least alam mo, they are conscious at hindi sila... parang tulala, no? So, parang gano'n.
Umaabot ba sa point na pinapagalitan nyo sila na, ano ba, tatanga-tanga ka, kaya ka sumemplang eh.
Usually yan sa mga laseng.
Yeah, ayan, oo. Oh,
pag laseng ang pasyente namin, alcohol ang lialagay namin.
Okay. So, Mark Song has a question here. Because, syempre, gusto niya mag-shopping. can you guys give a suggestion on like a curated first aid kit, trauma kit, Johnny Uy and Alex? Now, and my assumption here is if somebody's gone through the basic training, like Buck, what should they bring? And maybe Johnny, you can kind of walk us through, like, you brought a ton of stuff in your GS for us. Thankfully, we didn't have to use it. But what are the things that you bring on the daily, like an everyday carry? And what are the things you'd bring on a long ride?
Actually, daily yan. Nasa top box.
What?
Alaman lang ng top box ko, yes. Alaman
Pero,
lang ng top box ko.
Paano yung cruiser?
Ah, yung cruiser, that's why I have a leg rig. Ito.
Oh.
This is what I bring.
Yan.
It's a leg rig. But for 1 to 2 patient ka lang to.
Ano eh, zoom ko sa kay Johnny. And then...
yeah.
Very
this
important.
This is my leg rig.
Very important yan.
Ayan. Okay, so
what's inside?
This is what I bring pag naka-cruiser ako. So,
what's in it?
Yung mga gamit ko, medyo marumi.
usual
is to treat open wounds, yung mga abrasion, di ba? Pag meron kang abrasion, yung mga, ang ginagamit naman natin, di ba? Siyempre, povidone iodine, which is yung betadine, panglinis. Then, tawag ito, you have this gauze pad. No? So yung mga yun ang ginagamit para sa mga usual na abrasion lang naman, mga sugat lang naman. Ika nga, gas-gas. That's what they call it, gas-gas. And then siguro may konting teramycin, etc. para antiseptic in a way, di ba? Para hindi mag tawag ito, marumihan, etc. or ma-protectionan din yung patient, yung sugat.
Do you also bring like yung mga steroidal, topical, whatever? Do you bring pain meds?
Actually, I even have ano, burn ointment.
Wow, you're complete.
So part yun kasi bombero ako. So kadalasan pagka in case na usually most of them are ano rin, kapwa bombero rin. O kaya yung mga nadidikit, alam mo ang daming nagiging biktima ng cruiser ko. Nadikit sa Tambucho. Sunog, lapnos sa balagay.
Kaya pala may dala kang ganyan.
Oo, hindi kasi maraming yung ano, sumasakay. Biglang sumasakay na lang. Ay, mainit pa yung Tambucho.
Parang
lapnos ang leg nila.
Baka chicks yan, ha?
Doon po nagsimula na mag-medic si, ano, si Johnny Uy.
Partly, yes.
Okay, so Alex, what are your recommendations?
Well, everything that Sir Johnny said is basically... It's basically what you should keep in there, as long as you have, you know, your basic sterile dressing. So any type of things that you put on wounds, bandages, gauze pads. Though we have to make sure you have things, you know, like tweezers, scissors, things like that. So all the basics. And we actually do make at Lifeline first aid kits. And if you guys would be interested, we could come up with something. We haven't made it yet, but we could work with our team and make something specific for riders.
Oh, that would be awesome. We could do a 2-9 rider Lifeline first aid kit.
Yeah, just for you guys, what kind of things do you like? Or what works on a bike? Because obviously it's different type of bags and first aid kits we normally have.
Something that we can squeeze into our backpack. Kasi we travel light, Alex. Eh. I mean, make it very basic and something that doesn't expire early. May mga gamot ata na nag-expire early. And yung talaga
meron ako nito.
Yan. You show what's inside.
Yeah.
Yung parang
so yan. Ayan, medyo malinis-linis pa tong isa nakatabi lang. So may monitor port tape. Yeah. So kompleto ka. You have to have PPE also, of course. You have to protect yourself also.
Yeah.
Yung importante
rin. Yeah, lalo na ngayon.
And the gloves.
The gloves.
So, lalo na ngayon.
Yeah.
Syempre pinaka-importante, no? Ano pinaka-importante, band-aid.
Gross. Yeah.
Usually mga sugat. Yeah. So microport tape to dress ghost pad, etc. So ito yung mga
wala bang mga gamot diyan para sa emotions?
Actually gamot kailangan din yung mga basic medicine. Yeah. Meron din ako niyan. Alam ni Sir Ibo 'yan. I have those yung mga usual na mefenamic, mga kaya importante sa pagra-ride, loperamide.
Yeah,
obvious. Iba, bibigay ako sa'yo medicine mamaya.
Oh, pahingi. Now, the older you get, honestly, the first thing I did when we got invited to do that ride with Johnny was I went to Mercury. And I got paracetamol, I got bonamine, I got because the older you get, you're like, I need meds. I
got, diba may kasama tayo ride, sa ride natin, babae, nangailangan loperamide?
Oh, inubos niya. Grabe.
Para sa niyo pyramide. Ano 'yun?
LBM boss.
Eh, ikwento ko lang ha.
Wow.
You know.
Ay, wala akong binabanggit. Sir, wala akong binabanggit.
Hindi na kita dito. Ikwento ko lang guys na I had an horrible accident I think 6 years ago. Naka-experience ako sumakay ng ambulance eh. Isakay, hindi pala sumakay. Isinakay nila ako. They took me in. Pare, it's a barangay ambulance. As in, well, mayroon siyang tatak sa labas. But I thank these guys for saving me. Don't get me wrong. I'm still grateful to these people. They're from Santa Rosa, Laguna. And they were quick. Ang problema lang, you listen, Alex. Alex Deakin.
Oh, run out.
Every time I see your ambulance, yung Lifeline, ang na-imagine ko, it's a 5-star hotel eh. Pare, you tell us what's inside. What's inside? Parang sabi ko, ang layo nito sa barangay, ano? Barangay ambulance that we all have. Yung mga, but I, you know, talagang ganun siguro. Talagang yun lang ang budget ng mga LGU. But seeing this Lifeline ambulance, sabi ko, dapat ito eh. Dapat ito yung ano. So you tell us what you have inside.
Dapat ganun ang standard.
Yes, oo. Walang bababa doon, pare. Di ba?
Oo, government ano, government facility, dapat mataas yung standard.
Alex.
Well, first and foremost, we always like to acknowledge the work of the EMTs who work in those barangay ambulances, who work in the LGUs. those guys are just as qualified as any EMTs most of the time. Again, just like you said, it's typically just the time, the kind of budget that the barangay has. But when we look at a Lifeline ambulance, we pride ourselves, as mentioned earlier, as being a full emergency room on wheels. So I think you can just see, just looking at this photo, is it's a lot more well-equipped than your typical ambulance. We actually have around a 98% success rate in stabilizing the patient, regardless of the accident. If they come on board, 98% of the time, they'll make it to a hospital to be able to be treated. We rarely ever lose patients inside here. And that's because all our ambulances are fully ALS equipped, which is advanced life support. So they all come with defibrillators, ECGs, AEDs, as well as a full crew of either nurses or EMTs that can provide the full stabilization.
Sorry. What's AEDs? An AED? Yeah.
That's the heart starters, right?
So ah.
Na automatic na.
Defibrillator.
Johnny, may dala ka bang ganyan? Feeling ko...
Wala.
Ang mahal yun!
boss. Yeah, presyo ng boss. Motor yun. Presyo ng motor.
Hindi lang basta motor.
those things are expensive. They add up. I think to equip the ambulance costs almost $1 million per ambulance just in the equipment.
Wow.
Even the gurney itself is just around 250,000 already.
You know, Alex,
Striker gurney.
When the barangay ambulance carried me to the hospital, they didn't charge me. I don't think Lifeline will do that. Eh. Diba? Because you tell our viewers that it's a private thing. That, you know.
Yeah, how do we subscribe to that?
Yeah.
So we actually have different... I'll explain just really quickly. It's kind of models that we do. So Lifeline, like I mentioned earlier, it's a private company.
Yeah.
But we do offer memberships to people. Typically, our client base is generally older, so more senior citizens.
Oh, Aris,
Pasok.
Not trying to name any names yet or anything like that. But we charge 2,000 pesos a year in membership fee. And with that, you get free use of the ambulance. In any type of emergency.
2,000 a year?
How much again? How much?
Yes, 2,000 a year.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Mura yun, ha?
Yeah.
For 2,900 rider listeners and viewers, 3,000 a year.
2,000.
My cut. My commission.
If you buy it through, sir, if you buy it.
That's very reasonable.
That's reasonable.
You send me an application, Alex. I'll fill it up.
Right away. I'll message you later, sir. But the problem
Mark,
is
mo na kami.
Alam mo, boss, parang insurance yan. Eh.
Yeah.
You want to have it, but you don't want to use it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. In fact, we have so many members every single day. They call us and they complain that they don't want to renew because they didn't have to use it. Bro, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's the goal, right? That you don't have to use it.
Yeah.
Genorio is asking how to apply.
Yeah.
You can either go to our website, www.lifeline.com.ph. You can apply on through there. You can message our Facebook page. Someone from our membership team will contact you. But we just want to put it out there first. It's not available nationwide. Which might be a turnoff for riders, but we wanted to say that up front, just so we don't, make it seem like we're trying to hide anything. I know a lot of riders will typically go out of town because it's not that nice if you want to do a long ride in Metro Manila, right? So you'll go either to Antipolo or go south, go north, go wherever. So we're not in all those areas yet. But if you're looking for something for your parents or something, even for you, if you're riding as a daily commute to work, then I think a Lifeline membership is well worth it.
Genorio is asking about the Cavite area. Is that covered?
We have some parts of Cavite. If you give me one second, I can actually come up with the full thing of what we do in Cavite.
And then I'm going to ask for Mark Song. How about the Rizal, Marilake, Martesem area?
We cover Panay and Antipolo.
Yon, Mark. Sasama kami sa iyo. I'll ride with you if you get this.
Yeah. Here's the list. San Pedro. These are outside of NCR. Pedro, Laguna, Bacoor, Cavite, Taytay, Canta, Antipolo, Rizal, and then parts of Bulacan as well.
But I know also, Alex, some of your ambulance are, you know, stationed in the big schools, di ba?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, naka-stay sila sa big schools. Doon lang sila naka-standby. I see some of them, yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, so we have a lot of deals with different areas. So if you go to BGC, there's a Lifeline ambulance station there. If you go to Rockwell, there's a Lifeline ambulance station there. A lot of villages as well. And what these villages do is that they approach us for memberships. And with that, they get covered completely everywhere in their village. If anyone has an accident, they don't have to pay anymore. If you're a resident of that village, if you're in this area, it's completely covered. But that's because they have that prior arrangement with us. So hopefully we can cover as many people as possible in the future.
Psst, kailan ka last nag-joyride? Alam mo yung may kasama ka, sobrang tawa lang kayo ng tawa, sabaw yung usapan nyo, kahit saan kayo dali ng trip nyo, ayos lang. Tapos biglang tatahimik, lalalim yung usapan, magiging intellectual, emotional. Ngayon, kahit stuck ka mag-isa sa bahay, sa traffic, sa trabaho, pwede ka nang sumabay sa Joyride of Intellectual Wall Conversations sa podcast kong Sabayan with Victor, produced by Podcast Network Asia. Sabay na sa Sabayan with Victor.
I'm just going to read a couple of the comments. One, I think you guys touched on earlier, Johnny and Alex. Lance Sipon asked, just want to ask, if the medic tries to help, but the victim did not make it, is the medic safe from going to jail?
Yun yung sinasabi natin sa Good Samaritan law. But usually kasi here in the Philippines, hindi naman sila natutuluyan. I mean, hindi naman sila liable in a way. But then, hindi natin masisi kung if the family of the patient will sue. No? So possible din yun. So hopefully, sana maging batas tong Good Samaritan Act. And the same thing with the EMS law. I mean, EMS system, council, sana magkaroon din. So it will provide emergency medical services sa local government. Sana magawa. I mean, this Congress. May bill naman tayo para dyan. Yun, sana lang.
Magbobonet ako pag ano, magsisave ako ng lives para di ako makilala.
Coach Moto Clyde, pwede magpa-certified instructor. Currently certification call from Saudi pa. Saudi Heart Association.
Meron nice. Tayo sa Philippine Heart Association.
So Philippine Heart Association does it. If he's trained already, is there like a test?
Parang may test siya. And then at the same thing, every 3 years, they have to renew it. Even doctors have to renew it from the Philippine Heart Association. Yung certification nila ng BLS.
Okay, all right. And may magandang point si Coach Clyde. They have a road captainship module in their training. And sabi niya, all our road captains are mandatory to have a first aid kit. You know what?
That's great.
I think that's incredibly important that when you do organize a ride, if not you, but you got to make sure that not just that, you know, you have the tools and spare parts, but somebody has to have the first aid part covered, right?
Definitely.
Actually nga, dapat dyan, Sir Iba, lahat marunong ng first aid.
Lahat.
Yeah. Oh, kasi paano pag ako ang na-aksidente, who's going to treat? Diba? Yeah. Wala na, babay na.
Diba? That's a good point. Yeah. So on that note, Buck, tapos ka na. Mackie, myself. Aris, pa-recertify tayo.
Yeah,
walang problem. Para we're responsible riders, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Si Aris, kailangan niya na subscription.
Di, ganito ha. I'm looking for a, you know, retirement job because, you know, Tito Aris is, you know, may edad na. You know, I think Alex knows.
Ano ba edad daw?
Sa abroad, in demand yung first aiders eh. I mean,
yeah, actually, yeah, being an EMT, actually, one of the things that we pride ourselves in Lifeline as well is that if you become an EMT and you work here locally, even for just 2 to 3 years, you can go abroad almost straight away.
It's in demand.
Oh, yeah. You can go.
It's
super in demand. You can. Did you go abroad, Sajani?
No, hindi. Pero marami akong friends na EMT.
Mayaman yan, hindi niya kailangan mag-abroad.
A lot.
Yeah.
Marami akong friends na nandun ngayon. And they're earning like 6 digits. 200 plus thousand sa month. Ha?
Pare, we have to tell them na nagbabantay lang itong mga to, no? Not every time may di ba? Naka-standby lang yan, but they're being paid.
Correct.
Yun.
Alimbawa, sa mga oil fields?
Yeah.
Sa mga, ano? Sa mga oil company?
Pare, that's a good retirement job.
Laki ng kinikita nila.
Yeah. So, ano, ipilan nyo na ako, ha?
And also, I mean, I would argue Aris, compared to the rest of us, would be best suited for this job because he's already closer to death. I mean, kami ba? Mahaba pa. We still have a couple, you know, couple more decades. Paikli na. So okay na sa kanya mag-risk ng life niya to save other people.
Alam mo ba yung kasabihan na masamang damo?
For the greater good.
Ang masamang damo, masarap daw irolyo. Yun. Wait, ano?
Oh,
ano?
Wait, Mark. Mark has insight here.
Yeah.
He said, I remember your dad, Alex, trained and became an ambulance driver.
That's true.
Your dad? You have a very, very memorable last name. And yeah, did he train to be an ambulance driver?
Yeah, so my dad's James Deacon, bona fide influencer these days, but former.
Ogawa for life.
Yeah, most comfortable chair ever.
Yep.
Give him the sales pitch now. he actually did. He trained for that. Part of one of the new segments that he had to do is he had to work as an ambulance driver in Lifeline. So he trained for that. He did a course. Since he wasn't actually touching the patients, he didn't have to do the full EMT course, but he did a road safety course, did the basic first aid. And for about a week, he drove a Lifeline ambulance. And you can't imagine like the type of stories, the type of runs that he had to go through. And I think this was a long time ago. Dati pa, mga like 10 years ago. And the amount of people, I mean, it's getting better now, but even just before, and I'm sure you also noticed this, Sir Johnny, some cars just don't move out of the way.
Exactly.
You're driving, you're beeping them now, and even if they have space to move over to the side, they just don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And even before, what was a big problem, I'm sure it's still common now, is that the cars tailgate you. If you're cutting in through traffic, cars will try and go and follow you just like that, right behind. We actually train our drivers sometimes. If they're really tailgating you fully and you've given them the warnings, which is to brake hard multiple times, just brake very hard. And don't even worry if they hit you, if they touch you, if it's actually endangering the safety. It's more important to get the patient there than it is to get bumped and, you know, taken out of action by someone just trying to follow you around.
You know, that's a really interesting point. On a motorcycle, because I mean, obviously, and I've driven abroad in other countries where they're very, very strict when it comes to ambulances. And sometimes in the Philippines, it's nice to see more and more people parting. And
it's getting better now, for sure.
It's getting better now. If you're on a motorcycle, are there things that you can do that will help the ambulance? Or should you just let them be and do their jobs? Because I've seen motorcycle riders trying to be good Samaritans and kind of, you know, waving cars aside so that the ambulance can get by. Or should you just, you know, kind of pull over, let the ambulance pass, and then go about your business?
Personally, I believe it's best to let it let them go and just make it as simple as possible for them to reach their patient. But so, Johnny, what do you think?
We don't encourage it. We really don't encourage it na we're being escorted by motorcycle. But then again, minsan kasi yung traffic talaga, no? So they could go to the corner para mapatakbo agad yung car. So free flowing of traffic. Yun lang. Pero we don't encourage it really na escorting those ambulances. Because ano yan eh? It's a formula for danger. I mean, accident din.
You add complications, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the best intentions, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions, exactly. Right? You get
it happens a lot,
trying to help an ambulance, you're causing more, or worse, if you cause an accident that delays the ambulance exactly. Further. So just don't take the risk.
Yeah.
Pero may training ng ano ambulance driving sa TESDA from the government. They have this NC2 training for ambulance driver, yung fire truck driver ganun. The same thing. Merong training yan.
Johnny, patanong lang. Ano yung pinaka common injuries ng mga riders para when they crash?
Abrasion lang, ano lang, may gasgas lang.
Yun lang.
Yan yung common injury. Worse siguro magkaroon, I mean, katulad yung recently, di ba, mayroong na-aksidente, bumagsak. Pagbagsak ng pasyente, nakahiga, hindi nakita, nadaanan ng bus.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh, that's...
Labas ang puso.
Yeah.
Tumitibok-tibok. I mean, yun yung ano eh, mga risks. I mean, hopefully, pag ganun talaga, kaya you have to tayo ka agad kung kaya mo tumayo, tabi ka na kaagad.
Yeah.
Pero the usual common is abrasion, gas-gas. I mean, mabalian ka, fracture, konti, meron siguro. Pero mostly, abrasion.
Yeah. On Lifeline's end, since we covered the highways as well, so Lifeline is the ambulance station for the Skyway, for the SLEX, the EAX, and Galax. We see that's where the accidents are typically higher speed. So yeah, for in Metro Manila, it's typically just abrasions, basic stuff. But we also see a lot of head injuries, a lot of actually like body injuries. And you couldn't imagine some of the stories that our EMTs have told us about the kind of cases that they've run, like that they've seen.
Off-road na lang tayo, Buck. No, okay, sorry. Before we wrap up, we're here hitting 1 hour. I have one other question. We talked about what riders should do if they see an ambulance. And Buck, myself, and Aris have already gotten trained, and I want to be trained again. If you're not trained and you see a motorcycle accident, if you haven't gone through the Lifeline first aid certification, what should you do?
First and foremost, it's call for help. A lot of people, it seems like a common thing to say, but the amount of people who just see something happen and then just walk away is astoundingly high. If you just know how to call and who to call, you're well on your way to doing good.
Yun. Johnny, what do you think?
The same. Call for help talaga. And then siguro pinaka the best, you control the traffic para hindi masagasaan din pasyente kung sakasakali. I mean, you have to block it anyway. So, depende. But that's the best thing. Call for help talaga. You have to wait for the professionals.
I have another question. Do you also have a training on crowd control? Kasi parang lalo na yung mga kumukuha ng video... Do you tell them na, oy guys, keep distance, or oy, huwag nyo munang kuna ng video, lalo na yung mukha, or yung they're in a miserable situation? Is that part of your training?
Tama.
Is that part of your training?
Actually kami, kapag kami, may ambulance kami dala, tinatakpan talaga namin pasyente. We don't show it. I mean, and then as much as possible, if we could treat it sa loob ng ambulance, doon namin ito treat sa loob ng ambulance. At least there's no video, they couldn't be seen. Walang masaselang bahagi ng kanilang katawan na makikita. So, sa loob ng ambulance mission, pagkaya naman. Then we have to load na, diretso na sa hospital, nearest hospital. Kaya importante rin yun, yung hospital na pagdadalan.
Sino ba yung pumipili nun? Yung victim o kayo, yung pagdadalan?
Kapag walang usual kasi sa amin, sa mga volunteer, no? Meron kasi nangyari sa amin yung naka-hostage kami. Especially if walang kasama yung victim. Hindi kami pinapaalis unless may kasama na yung victim. So basically, kadalasan po sa mga public hospital. For example, in QC, ISAF, orthopedic, depende sa case niya. Kung tingin may bale, orthopedic. No? East Ave, Jose Reyes. Pero kung mismo victim, conscious naman, at sinabi niya, ah, dali mo ako sa ano, sa St. Luke's. Dali namin St. Luke's. So the victim could request naman which hospital she wanted to go.
All right. I'm gonna... go ahead, Buck.
Pag si Johnny Uy ang nag-rescue sa akin, pwede ba ako mag-request? Johnny Uy, ano? Yes, drive-through muna tayo sa Burger King.
Pwede. 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 Pwede yan, pwede yan. No, pwede.
So we've tackled a few kind of dark things today, no? But again, it's all in aid for making us more responsible and better riders. I want to end the show on a high note. And I want to ask Alex and Johnny, what's the most rewarding thing about what you guys are doing? Alex?
Are you guys familiar with how it works for when you learn any type of martial art? It's typically the kind of people who know how to fight that generally never want to actually get into a bar fight, get into a street fight. The ones who are actually trained and the ones who actually go through this, they're never the ones who want to do it. And I think that's what we're trying to do with first aid and what we're trying to bring over to our biker guard programs is that if you're actually more aware of what happens, if you know the kind of injuries that can happen, if you know how to treat it, as a result, you're less likely to, number one, be more dangerous on the road. You're less likely to, you know, cut people off. You'd rather be a safer driver because you know the risks now. And I think that's what we're trying to do. It's not just, you know, to do a course or to do this. It's to educate the entire riding public and to change the whole mindset. If you can make one person understand how it works and the dangers of it, you can eventually get to everyone. It'll take time, but for me, that's the most rewarding part.
Yeah. But if I knew all the risks with riding, I'd never ride. So ignorance, it's good to be a little ignorant.
when you're starting.
That's why you have to train. Di ba? Sabi nga ni Sir Aris, you have to train.
Correct. Ikaw, Johnny, what's the most rewarding part about being Aris's guardian angel?
Hindi. Alam mo ba, ako yung experience ko sa fire, actually more on sa fire, hindi sa pagiging medic. No, yung sa fire, one time we have this fire sa mga shanties, puro mga squatters area. We call it informal settlers. So what happened is, this fire, ubos ang bahay niya. Sunog na sunog. Ubos. Pero alam mo, to the point, paglabas namin doon sa fire scene, nakita niya kami, umutang pa siya sa kapitbahay niya ng soft drinks para lang mapainom kami. Yun yung parang pinaka-heartwarming sa akin. Alam mo, wala sila. Until now, nakatatak sa akin. Dahil walang-wala sila, but still, they were so happy that we responded to them. At even though nasunugan sila. Kaya yun yung tumatak sa akin until now. Kaya parang iba yung hinahanap kong satisfaction. Correct. Kapag ka nakakatulong, nakakatuwa. Kasi walang-wala eh. Inutang pa nila sa kapitbahay nila sa sari-sari store para lang mapainumin kami. Yun lang. I mean, that's the most rewarding thing. Soft drinks lang katapat. Say thank you. Tuwan-tuwa kami. Mga volunteer kami. Tuwan-tuwa kami. Mabababaw ang kaligayahan namin.
There's a lot of crappy things you can say about Filipinos, no? But honestly, the farther away you are from the metro, the less people they have, the more generous they are.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And you learn that as a rider, no? Kung nasa bundok ka and all they have is like a kalabaw and a nipahat, pare, they'll give you whatever food they have, man. And that's why mataba hospitality. Inuubos namin yung pagkain nila eh. On that note, any words of wisdom that you guys want to impart on our podcast and live stream listeners? Alex?
If you guys are interested in anything we talked about today, you can either message me directly, you can message my Facebook, or you could go to our Lifeline page, either the Lifeline 16911 or the Lifeline EMS Academy, and inquire about how you can take the course, how you can get educated, and how you can learn to be a hero.
Yon.
Be a hero. I like that.
Be a hero.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Oy.
Hindi naman, hindi naman. Grabe.
So any words of wisdom, Johnny?
Ay, sorry. Words of wisdom. It's not too late to learn. Katulad ni Aris, no? It's not too late to learn. Hindi, kasi it's a life skill eh. It's a life skill.
Yeah.
When I teach this before sa isang school, even mga kasambahay nila tinuturuan namin ng BLS. Why? If something happened to their boss, to amo nila, na sabihin natin obese, etc. Worst come to worst, hopefully ma-revive siya nung kasambahay. So it's a life skill talaga that everybody should learn. Everyone, 'di ba? Everyone should learn those basic life support, first aid, etc., no? So merong story 'yan eh. Nung malaman nung boss niya na natuto siyang mag-BLS, you know what? Tinaasan ng sahod niya. Yung kasambahay na yun, tinaasan ng sahod niya. Kaya nakakatuwa. I mean, one of the stories na true story yan. True story yan.
I'm sold. I'm sold. I'm envious that Bucks got certification. Aris, pa-recertify tayo.
Oo. Hindi, alam nyo, tama sila, ano eh, Johnny and Alex. Hindi porkin kumuha ka 10 years ago, yun na yun eh. You have to...
Yes, so nababago yan eh. Binabago.
The pressure course. Makakalimutan mo yun kasi hindi all the day may nire-respond ka na victim yun. Makakalimutan mo yan.
Tsaka iba na nung araw.
Yeah.
Ngayon, iba na rin ang approach.
But pag mga matatagal na panahon ng topic, si Aris tinitingnan mo.
Pero Johnny,
yung iba na approach ngayon.
Johnny, yung mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, hindi nagbabago yun, ano?
Hindi na ginagamit yun.
Hindi na ginagamit yun, Aris.
Hindi na ginagamit yun.
Ginagamit.
Sabi niya, simula nung pandemic, wala nang nagma-mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Ganun ba?
Si Aris lang. Ayaw ba? Lalo na pag guwapo.
Ayaw na mag-training. Wala pala nun.
Then, meron namang ginagamit ngayon. Yung mga EMTs, meron kami tinatawag na abubag or alba tawag.
CPR.
I forgot the CPR mask, pwede. So, basically, hindi na mouth-to-mouth kasi merong baka mahawa tayo.
Yeah.
Diba? Due to pandemic COVID.
Hindi ko alam yun, no? Wala na pala nun. Pero that's good to know.
Kaya nga nababago yan. Every 5 years, binabago.
Yeah.
Binabago ng PHA. On our part, PHA, Philippine Heart Association. Every 5 years, nagkakaroon ng revision.
Ayan. Tsaka hindi na nga staying alive ang kinakanta pag nag-CPR, eh. Iba na, may mga modern songs na sila.
Actually, meron naman. Oh. Meron. May kakaiba. Meron din yung sa Star Wars, pwede rin yun.
Alright, on that note, again, you guys are awesome. You guys save lives. And I agree with what Aris said earlier in the show. It's about time we had some sensible people on the show. And buti may naloko tayo.
Marami naloko gagalit natin.
Hindi. Hindi nila alam kung ano yung show kasi natin.
Oo nga. Hindi, alam ni Johnny. Ganun ka ba yun si Johnny?
Sanay na ako.
Nag-aaway na naman tayo niyan.
Swerte pala sila Malu at sila Raymond.
Yeah.
Kapit five. Ah, oo nga. Lipat na tayo doon sa subdivision nila, pare.
Yeah.
All right, and that was our episode. Ivan, take us out.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.